Nervous system chic is what we are talking about in today's episode of Burnoutology, the podcast. Nervous system chic. Welcome to Burnoutology. I am Kelly Swingler, the burnoutologist and creator and deliverer of the Burnout Aware Coach and the Master Burnout Coach. I have been doing this work now for almost 12 years, even though I keep trying to convince myself that I still only look 30. But I have, over the last decade, coached over 700 leaders through burnout, and I've trained coaches from over 14 countries in how to be burnout aware. On the 17th of November, I'm starting the latest Master Burnout Coach qualification, which I'm very, very excited about. But I do this stuff because, for me, this matters, and I genuinely believe that burnout ends with awareness. Over the last 10 years, I've been joining the dots to understand what happened to me, because my first burnout made me really seriously ill and my second nearly killed me. And I just always thought, if I can make the difference for one person, if I can stop one person from having to experience what I went through, then today's been a good day. But I realised that the biggest way in which we do this is to share. And I absolutely believe that burnout ends with awareness. And Burnoutology, the podcast, is taking 200 burnout truths, I suppose turning them into talking about them in terms of stories and personal experience and anecdotes and lived experience. And what I'm seeing in terms of the research and the studying that I'm doing. And I've been joining all of these dots. And Burnoutology is uncut and unedited and unscripted, because I also think, as part of this awareness, if we could just show up as we are, not edited, not filtered, not cut, not perfected, not any of that stuff, what a different world it would be. My burnout equation is that toxicity minus our sense of self equals burnout. And in giving myself permission to just show up and do this podcast unapologetically, with all of the bad recording and the sounds that happen in the background and the ums and the ers and the pauses and the repetition and the thinking out loud and the brain dumping. But if I can just allow that to happen unapologetically, uncut, unscripted and unedited, and show that just showing up as ourselves is enough, then hopefully maybe it gives you a little permission slip to do exactly the same. And it doesn't have to be starting a podcast, but maybe it's just having a conversation. Maybe it is showing up differently. Maybe it's walking into a room slightly differently. But that's where I want us to get to. So whether you are a new listener or whether you are a returner, and hundreds of you are returning every week, which makes my heart melt. Thank you very, very much. But whatever's brought you here, and however long you've been listening, thank you for being here. Today we're talking about nervous system chic. This is Burnout Truth number 18. So what does this mean? Well, this is aestheticising. I nearly changed that word. I was like, what? But what nervous system chic means is that it is aestheticising healing instead of embodying it. How we spot it, it's like the pale beige branding. It's the calm captions. But behind the pale beige branding and the calm captions, you're still panicking internally. And it matters, because healing isn't aesthetic. It's messy and it's real. Now, let me start here by saying, no shade on anybody if you have got pale or calm branding, and no shame if you've got calm captions and, your website looks very natural and organic, right? It's not about that. It's not about the colours. You'll know mine's completely the opposite, right? Mine is literally shouting in orange and purples and blues all over the place. Even if you just go to my homepage, right, you'll see me literally shouting into a megaphone with a t-shirt that says "Burnout ends here" on the front. I'm the complete opposite of calm or pale or beige, because that reflects more of who I am. It's not about the branding colours. It's not about the calm. It's not about the serenity. This nervous system chic is when you are making it look very, very different than how you feel. If you haven't recovered and yet you're making it look like you have, right? You're making it look like you've got all of the answers. You're making it look like, I suppose it's, you know, you're the swan above the water. That's how you're portraying it, right? You're just gliding along. Everything's fine. You're looking like you've got all your shit together. Your pictures, your blogs, your Instagram, your LinkedIn, whatever platform you're on, it looks really calm and really serene. There's shots of you doing yoga. There's shots of you sat by a river. There's shots of you in green space and being outside. There's shots of you sat with your morning cuppa in the garden. There's pictures of you on your yoga mat doing your yoga. There's pictures of you meditating. And at the same time, the aesthetic is very, very different to what you are living and breathing and feeling every day. Because behind the perfect branding shots and the calm and serene branding and the captions that make your readers, your followers, the captions that make them go, oh, that's so calming, that's exactly what I needed today. Underneath all of that, you're not embodying any of it. You are still panicking. You're still worried. You're in nervous system overdrive. If I asked you to sit still just for 2 minutes with a cuppa, you'd struggle. Because the only time that you sit for 2 minutes with a cuppa is when you're trying to get the perfect Instagram shot. So you can look like that. But if I said to you, let's just sit for 2 minutes and just breathe, you'd be in nervous system overdrive. You'd be like, oh, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. That's the difference. That's what we're talking about today. And again, in the very early days, I know 2016, I was coming through, or I'd been in the deepest, darkest place of my second burnout that nearly killed me. And I'd started to do some learning. I remember we spoke. We've spoken quite a lot over the last couple of weeks, actually. That's like, oh yes, this is me. These are all the puzzle pieces and the building blocks. But the breakthrough burnout that we spoke through a few weeks ago, right, I've had the aha moments. I remember I'd finished a couple more training courses. Of course, I've invested everything. I've been looking for every single fix that I could possibly get my hands on. Right, I've spent tens of thousands of pounds on courses that have added no value whatsoever. But I thought it's a qualification, so I could do something with it. So like, I've had the aha moments. I've been in the positivity space. I've been in the productivity cult. I've fallen into the empowerment trap. And I have been this nervous system chic. In 2016, I knew something was off. I left my corporate in-house career at the end of 2013. I started my business. And I was the main breadwinner. I knew I needed to earn really quickly. And I literally went straight into consulting. So I had left my job in the January. I left with an agreement. That agreement was signed a couple of weeks later. And by the end of February, I had my first clients. Set up my business. Everything was ready to go. I'd been doing a lot of the work behind the scenes. And in February 2014, I had my first clients. And I was earning good money, and that started to grow, and I started to grow the team, and I started to change lots and lots of stuff, and the business kept growing. But there was something inside me that just thought, this is not what you're meant to be doing. I didn't know what it was. And then I started to find, like, friends of mine were recommending books to me, and I found myself being drawn and just kind of finding, I suppose quite serendipitously, different therapists and different healers. And I felt like I was being pointed in some different directions. And I thought, okay, maybe this is what I need to do. And so I did more training and more courses, and I thought, yeah, I can do this. And I kind of thought I had everything sorted. And then my second burnout, the one that nearly killed me, I thought, well, this, I've got to this point because this isn't, well, you know, I shouldn't be running the consultancy, but I didn't know what it was that I wanted to do. But that was my first, and I hadn't changed my name at that point. Kelly Swingler is the name I was born with, but I hadn't changed my name from my marriage name at that point. But that was my first stab at, like, being me as the brand. Because I knew when I started my consultancy, there was something in me that just thought, this was like 2013, 2014, I thought there was just something, I knew it would be bigger than me. So I knew Kelly Swingler Consulting, although it was Kelly Fryer at the time, it didn't sit with me. And then I changed, but right, it was Chrysalis Consulting. Always do a name search before you start a business. Do you know how many bloody chrysalises are out there? But it came to me, that's what I had, that's what we were doing, that was everything that we stood for as a business. We got the growth, everything was fine. My second burnout in 2015, and there was just this niggle that it needed to be me. And my first stab at my first business was Kelly Fryer. And I got a friend of mine to take some pictures of me, literally in my garden, right? And it was pictures with greenery and green space. It was a very natural looking website. Because for whatever reason, I kind of thought, this is where I need to go. And I see lots of kind of first iterations of businesses now that are exactly as I've said, right? They're a little bit pale. Now, for some people, pale absolutely works. I look at some websites and I think, oh, that's beautiful. Look how calming that is, right? Look how welcoming that is. Mine's a complete opposite. Mine is like, in your face, let's shout. Let's be doing all of this stuff. But honestly, that first iteration of like Kelly Fryer. Now, maybe if I'd have already changed my name at that point, maybe I'd have stuck to Kelly Swingler at that point. Kelly Swingler didn't come until like 4 years later because I carried on doing the consulting with burnout as the side hustle, right? And now with the stuff that I'm doing, I think this is probably what I was being kind of asked or kind of called to do like 9 or 10 years ago. But I continue to have burnout as the side hustle for a very, very long time. So I've been there. I know what it looks like. And I know in 2016, coming through the second burnout, the second one that nearly killed me, I really wasn't in a place to be really helping anyone. But I did. I continued to coach. I'd done additional qualifications. I was coaching differently because I knew that my executive coaching was brilliant. I learned some amazing skills. But my executive coaching wasn't actually helping those that were on the brink of burnout. So I knew that needed to change. But I was doing exactly as I've mentioned here. I was aestheticising the healing. But the key is, with this particular episode and what we're talking about today, the key is the difference between showing it and having the gorgeous photographs in the garden with all the greenery around you and actually embodying it. If you've been here for a while, you've seen me speak, or you've trained with me, you've done any of my courses or my learning, you've completed 101, you'll know that between my first burnout and my second burnout, I was doing a lot of stuff. Right, I was doing a lot of self-care. I was ticking all the boxes that said this is what well-being looks like, because that's what we get told to do. And I'd done a lot of qualifications up to that point, and all of the qualifications were like, this is what well-being looks like, this is what health looks like. So I thought I'd just keep ticking the boxes. And I had like a daily to-do list. It was a big to-do list, but I had a daily to-do list of stuff that I thought if I just kept on doing it, this is what well-being would look like. So it was things like do my daily gratitude, do my journaling, do my affirmation cards, drink water, walk the dog, do yoga, meditate, have a bath, drink a certain amount of water, drink herbal teas, eat specific foods, eat in a certain amount of specific foods, do journaling at night, do yoga at night, do meditation at night, do all of this stuff, take my supplements, have a conversation with somebody, get up early, read a book, blah, 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 blah. The list was endless. And I'd been trained and taught that this is the stuff that we need to do. And again, this is part of the difference, because I never really recovered from that first burnout. I didn't come through it. I didn't come over it. I didn't do anything. I was really still stuck in the midst of that, whilst starting a business, leaving my marriage, moving house, turning my entire life completely upside down, and then doing all of this ridiculous long list every single day of what self-care and well-being should look like. I carried on doing all of that. And I've got this niggle that you need to be doing something else. So of course I set up a new website and I did new branding and I put more greenery on it and I put all of this, you know, make it look calm, make it look chilled. And I started writing journal pages just so they could go on my social media feed. And I started writing like affirmations on paper so I could take pictures of them and put them on my social feed and put them on my website and use them as my blog headings. And I would take, you know, I'd be like, I'm going to go and like, I'm going to sit on the grass. Like, will you take a picture of me to make it look like I'm meditating? I was meditating in the morning, but it was like, you know, take a picture of me for my socials. I've been there, done that. And I reached second burnout that nearly killed me. And there is this niggle, this drop, like, this is not the work that you should be doing. And I had probably for the next 3 years, I kept creating new websites, having new ideas, thinking about new brands. Again, remember what we said in terms of breakthrough burnout, right? I thought every single moment of clarity was the next idea, was the next business, was the next hustle, was the next side hustle, was the next thing that I needed to be doing, was the next thing that was going to make me loads of money, was the next thing that was going to be successful, was the thing that was going to grow my brand, was the thing that was going to change it all, so that I could then leave my consultancy and then maybe do more of this burnout type stuff, because this is where I felt called to be. But it was like, do I include my yoga? Do I include my meditation? Do I include my breath work? Do I do, you know, am I more of a therapist, right? Do I do therapy? I'll just do therapy something like more. I can be a burnout therapist and stop people doing this, and I could integrate some yoga and I could integrate some meditation. I could integrate some hypnotherapy and I could integrate some psychotherapy, and I could do all of this stuff, right? Because I got the psychotherapy qualification, I've got the hypnotherapy qualification, I've got the yoga teacher qualification, I've got the meditation teacher qualification, I've done all of this stuff. And there was something like, you need to be doing more with this. And even for years and years and years and years later, I'm still trying to do it. And actually all of that stuff, it plays a part. It does come into some of my retreats. Some of the techniques and tools do come into my coaching. Some of it does come into the burnoutology that I've created, right? Remember I said a few weeks ago, like, burnoutology, it's the dot joining. Burnoutology is the psychology and the neuroscience and the physiology, right? The somatics, everything that's going on within us. Burnoutology is all of those things encapsulated to get us to understand burnout from its core, to understand every single part of our lives that it impacts. So I have used all of that. All of that learning has been useful. And yet I don't have to deliver all of it. Don't have to be all of it. I don't need calm captions and pale beige branding to be like, hi, I'm going to help you through burnout. That's not me. But I did fall into that trap, and many of the rest of you may also be falling into that trap, because this is what we get told we need to do. And again, it's not about the colour of the branding. It's about what's happening behind it. Are we embodying that calm and that aesthetic? Are we embodying the stuff that we're showing everybody on our social feed that we're doing? Or are we just saying to somebody, can you take a picture of me on a yoga mat? But not actually embodying the yoga. Now, I said to somebody a few weeks ago, it might have even been at the last burnout aware coach training that I delivered a few weeks ago, I know doing one thing well consistently between that first burnout and that second burnout would have been more effective for me than trying to do all of the things that I was trying to do, because I was told this is what self-care and well-being look like. And the reason that I couldn't understand, I couldn't logically think about what's best for me at the moment and what do I need, is because my brain and my body were stuck in overdrive, right? This is why the neuroscience stuff for me is so important, because I understood at that point what was going on within my brain and my body and why trying to do all of these things wasn't actually beneficial, wasn't helping me, wasn't making any difference whatsoever. I learned it, took me a while to get there. I learned it and I created the change and now I live it. Now I breathe it. Now I embody it. And that's why I can, you know, very proudly be like, this is me. I can stick on a t-shirt, put it on the homepage of my website, it says burnout ends here. Because there was this niggle inside me for ages. It's like, I can't do this work because I'm not living it. And you know, rather than, again, what the logical brain would have said was, rather than being like, well, just start living it then, and then you can do the work even sooner, I did it the other way around and thought, well, I just need to do different work. Isn't that amazing that that's where my brain took me through, where my overworked, overfrazzled brain and body in burnout wasn't able to come up with the solution of start living this and then you can do the work. Whereas the rationale behind why I couldn't do the work was because I wasn't living and breathing and embodying the change. And yet as soon as I started to embody the change, I was then very quickly able to own the work and start to really own the category. I've created an entire model, right? An entire category of burnoutology. And I've created that category because I know that burnout is more than just the World Health Organization definition and a burnout inventory and 12 stages of burnout. Because that doesn't explain what it does to us, how we move through it, what we need to do to prevent it. Doesn't explain any of that stuff. It just says this is it. And then people think, well, I get that. I know that. So now I know burnout. Now I'm a burnout expert. Now I can just coach around it. If you don't fully know it and if you don't fully live it and breathe how to prevent it, how to understand it. And again, I know, and I've said this many times before, I still bloody love my work. My default is still busyness, right? But not busyness to the point of like busy to be worthy, but just busy because I've always got tons and tons of ideas. Now, I have changed that a lot. I have changed that a lot, but my default is still get stuff done. I'm still working on my therapist with this. We're like, well, I do think it is. Yeah, it's like it's been there my entire life. And in amongst all of that, I can say with absolute certainty, I will never, ever reach burnout again, ever. Because I know who I am. And there's no toxicity. There's no toxic friends, there's no toxic work, there's no toxic clients. If there is toxicity that comes in, I deal with that really quickly. There is no place for toxicity in my life. And there is no space for me to not show up as my absolute true self, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, right? I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, didn't I, in terms of like how frustrated I was getting around my recovery. There's no space for me to not be me. Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent every single day, every single minute of the day. This is me, this is what you're getting, this is who you're getting. Because even masking is bloody exhausting, right? That's the empowerment trap. I'm going to leave you there for today. That is the... No, it's not. That was last week. This is why I don't script it. I've got three titles on a page. That was Nervous System Chic. I ruined that one, didn't I? Nervous system chic, what it really means, aestheticising healing instead of embodying it. How to spot it, it's the pale beige branding, the calm captions, but you're still panicking internally. And it matters because healing isn't aesthetic. It's messy and it's real. That's Burnout Truth number 18. I'm going to be back with you next week for Burnout Truth number 19. Coach Washed Burnout. That's what we're talking about next week. Thank you very much for joining. If you haven't already, go and get your podcast companion from kellyswingler.com/podcast. And if you haven't got your Burnout Aware Starter Kit, you'd also find that at kellyswingler.com. I will be back with you again, same time next week. New episodes release every single Tuesday, 7 a.m. UK time. Go and have a great week. I will see you or speak to you again soon. Take care for now. Bye-bye.